You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
The love of Jesus has changed my life. I've seen His beauty and heard His word.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the blessing of Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to come together to share the word, to be an encouragement, and in some instances, it'd be an admonishment, because we stand together as one under the authority of Jesus Christ, and we want to represent Him well. And sometimes we have to say things that you might not want to hear, but if God put it on our heart, it's something we have to share. It all is covered by the love of Christ, the blood of Jesus, because we don't come together lightly. We come together with a heavy heart, with a joyful heart, knowing that all will work out well because of the promise we have in Jesus Christ. But sometimes we have a heavy heart because we see some things that are happening in this world. But it's all part of the plan of Christ, the plan of God, to get us where He wants us to be and where we need to be because of sin. And Lord, when we acknowledge that sin before You and confess it, You are faithful to forgive us. So Lord, we just thank You that we have a faithful God. We have an abundance of grace that we don't deserve at all. But You are there. You promise us that You will never leave us or forsake us. And God, we pray that in ourselves we will honor You and never leave you or forsake you. That you are so worthy and so above all that we can even imagine. And we honor you, Father. We want to honor you not only with our lips, but with our actions, with our thoughts, and with our deeds. Because you are worthy. There is none other same as you. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
My soul belongs to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. And I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
I must admit that last week we couldn't get together as far as sharing. And when he did share, it was almost the same thoughts that I had. But of course, always a little difference in it, but it was just such a blessing to know that our minds are in sync and our hearts are in sync with the Word of God. So I'm going to talk about what I didn't talk about last week because we couldn't get the setup. He's in the States and I'm here and it just didn't work out, but now we're together. And the message I had was about obeying the truth. And it just kept expanding into the truth against the law of the world. In John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, as we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God is truth.
Mm.
And his grace, I mean, it's his grace is generous gift from God that we don't deserve. But the truth is something that I think we have a hard time dealing with because we want, it's part of the vernacular right now, our truth, your truth. But there's only one truth, and it's found in Jesus Christ and God and in the Holy Spirit who works in us to convict us when we hear something that is not the truth, and we don't want to. The Holy Spirit, when we become saved, the Holy Spirit gives us that check. But we have the responsibility to respond to that. And sometimes we don't, because I'm really thinking more about Christians more than the unsaved people, because we know better. At least we should. God took me to Galatians, and it was interesting. In Galatians, Paul was dealing with people who had come to know the Lord, and there was all this conflict going on because they had started listening to people who were perverting. It's not my word, it's in the Word of God, perverting the gospel. So how can you pervert the gospel to people who already know unless they don't want to hear it? That they are so caught up in, let's say, like a gang mentality or that gaggle of people that, though so many people say this, then I need to follow that. There's another word for it, I can't think of what it is. Yeah. This is, you know, my brain is still thinking Spanish because when I was praying, I was like, I almost said something in Spanish. But that gang mentality, I got to go with everyone else. And when someone comes in and starts saying things that are totally against God, how can they be accepted in the hearts and the ears and the minds of God's people if they're not trying to please men instead of pleasing God. Because it was interesting, that word, it just really struck me, because it said those who please men are not servants of God. And that's what we're called to be, servants of God. That means he plucks his finger in the spirit, we're gone. That means we're going to pray. We're going to be kind to someone. We're going to forgive someone. We're not going to respond in anger. That's being a servant, because those are things God is against. He wants us to pray. He wants us to respond well to people. He doesn't want us to be angry. But even if we are angry, he wants us to learn how to forgive. He gives us every opportunity to be his servant. But we have to make that decision on our own. Or we just follow the things of the world. The law of the world is not healthy for us. I was reading it. It was really interesting, because he said some things that really touched my heart in Galatians. Because he said things like, but in now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how can you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Because the things of the world will put you in bondage. It will put us in bondage. It is no liberty in the laws of this world. It's bondage. It's like you have to do it this way or you're not going to be accepted. That's not even Christ. That's not even God. That's not the Holy Spirit. It says you do it God's way. And if you don't, we pray for you. We're not going to throw you away. We're going to say, we bless you. You know, the pastor was talking about this today in church, and it just blessed my heart, because I had that understanding. But a lot of people don't have that understanding, what it means to bless somebody. When you bless somebody, you speak well of them. So how can you be a servant of God and not bless someone? And blessing them, you can be forgiving them. You can listen to them, but you can also say, I hear what you're saying, but you know there's another way that God has spoken to my heart about. It's written in his word, and I desire to walk that. And can I share that with you? And then it's up to that person to hear you out, to accept it or not. But you can't go along with the world. We can't. I keep saying I, but it's we. We can't, because all of us are subject to temptation. None of us are above that. As long as we live, there will always be a temptation. But we have power in the name of Jesus to live above that temptation, to say, no, I'm not going there. Because the word of God says this is the truth. And interesting, in that same book, I had to laugh when I read this, that Paul said to these people as he's teaching to them and admonishing them and blessing them at the same time. He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Is that not today? Is that? I mean, it's like people say, oh, the Bible is old. It doesn't relate to today. Yes, it does. It relates more to today more than ever. In this generation we're living in, it's so evident that things are so out of sorts, and so out of order, and so contrary one to another. This is the day of the Lord's coming. And we need to make sure that we're prepared, that we are walking in the things of God, that we are listening to the truth that comes from his word, from his heart, from his sacrifice, of his son, that we don't follow the crowd, that we can speak up, not in anger, not in condemnation, but in love and blessing. You know, there's a way of talking to people that you can say. I remember Matt, well, he's just my greatest example. He was talking to someone, and I knew them personally, and I was like, oh, this is going to be hard. But what blessed me was, he kind of went like, you know, I hear what you're saying. And I see, you know, where you're coming from, and but it just broke down any kind of objection. And then he could get that word and he could speak to that. And that person kept coming back to him. Like, I want to keep this conversation going. So we need to really let the Holy Spirit lead us in how we communicate with people. We don't want to make them angry. They can be angry because they want to be angry, but don't, they shouldn't be angry because of what we're saying, not because of the way we say it. It's because they're fighting against their flesh. Their flesh is fighting against the Spirit of God that's living within us. Remember, we're servants of God. We're not followers. We're not pleasers of men. Because that's a great big hole that they're going to eventually fall in. But we're responsible to make sure not so many fall. That we can be an influence, a godly influence on people, to let them know that their truth may not be what God's truth is. Mm-hmm. The truth of God brings life. Your truth, and his truth, and her truth. How can you live in that? That's so confusing. It's just absolutely crazy. You can't live by all these different truths. You have taken the word, the English word, truth, and made it non-existent. But Jesus, he is full of grace and truth. He came because he wanted to pour out the grace of God on us and the truth of God, because God is truth. There is no other truth. And in that same scripture, in the book of Galatians, I was like, I couldn't get away from it. It just says, we observe days and months and time and years. But Paul said, I am afraid of you because I have bestowed upon you my labor in vain. Because I see that expression, we observe days and months and times and years. I think about the internet. Because there are these little things on there that says, push this button, we'll tell you what kind of temperament you have, who are you going to marry, what your future looks like. And you're observing these things that have nothing to do with God. And it's like, oh, it's just fun. But if you took that time and said, God, what kind of personality do I have? You say, well, that does sound like me. And I do want to get married one day. I mean, they're going to give me answers that please you. But why are we doing that? Why are we in a computer on a phone trying to find answers to make us feel good about ourselves? We've got to be careful about these things. Because that time, you could have spent some time with the Lord and said, God, you know, I sure would like to know what's going to happen in the future. I sure would like to know how, you know, if I'm going to get married, if I'm going to have children. And whatever he answers, it's going to be better than the answer that you're going to get from a computer program. Because he might just say, you know what? I have it all planned out for you. Just wait on me. Mm. Can you not be satisfied with that? Can we not be satisfied in trusting his word that he has it all planned out for us? And his plans are good. That's the truth. No one else can satisfy the desires of our heart more than he can. So be careful what you go to. It's like, I'm just playing a game. But you don't know what those games are doing to your spirit. Because you'll go back and I'll like, oh, let me play this one again. Let me do this again. It's a distraction. And these days, we don't need to be in distractions. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in communion with our Lord and Savior. Mm. Laying ourselves before him saying, here I am, God. I am your servant. Use me. Instruct me. I mean, this is also in Galatians about we are heirs, but as a young heir, it says that we're still under tutors and trainers learning. And we're still learning. No one has come to that place where they know where they should be. They're firm. Every day we're learning something more and more. I mean, some of us are in preschool, some of us in elementary, some of us in junior high, some of us in senior high, some of us in university, some of us in grad school. But we're still learning. We're still learning how to be the servant of God that we're called to be, not servants of the law of this earth. This world is full of distractions. It's full of things that will make us and break us away from where we need to be. The law of God is love. That is the law of God. That is the law of God. It's love. And who should we love more than anyone else? It's our Savior, our Lord, our Holy Spirit. All of those in one. God, the Creator, the Mighty One, Magnificent, All-Powerful. He has ordained everything for us, for our good. And let us not be weary in doing well, but let us also be careful in not making sure that we are not just known of God, but that we know Him and are learning more about Him every day. There's so much to learn. There's so much to be sealed within our hearts because of our relationship with Him that will not only bless us, but bless others. So they will bless the Lord. I just thank you, God, for just our Lord and Savior, for being who He is, for loving us, for dying for us, for sacrificing for us. God is wonderful. And He, no one else can love such an immense, complex, crazy group of people as we are. But He loves us. He loves us so fiercely. Oh, that we would love Him as fiercely as He loves us. Amen.
Amen. You just have a way, my dear. Why are you laughing? You just have a way of being so soothing and calm. It's so beautiful. Look, I'm going to talk to my young people. I'm so chill right now. I feel like I could just, just meditate on what she said and not even really share anything today. But one of the points that she made, in fact, maybe I might even touch on a couple of points that she's made, is this word that we call the truth. Mm-hmm. And I love what you said, my darling, because, there's so many different variations of the truth going around that we forget that there's ultimately only one truth, and that truth is in Jesus Christ. You know, one plus one will always equal two. Okay? That is the truth. All right? But see, here's the thing. God's mathematics, one plus one can equal ten. Mm-hmm. So, it's always this interesting paradox, because we live in a humanity that's based upon intelligence, upon intellectualism, upon common sense, as we call it. But see, and this is really marrying itself into what I'm getting ready to share, because with God, nothing has to add up the way we want it to add up. Look, I have spent the better part of 30 years in some form or fashion in accounting. And one of the most beautiful things for any of you accounting folks is when you have a ledger and that ledger is in what color? Do you know what color?
The
black.
In the black. When you see a ledger that's in the black, everything has balanced out. It's beautiful. You can submit that to your employer or to whomever. If you're running your own business, you can just look and be satisfied that you have money after the end of all your expenses and whatever other liabilities that might come up. And that is a form of truth. But see, here's the thing. With God, He can take what looks like a negative and He can make it a positive. Because unlike us, God is not bound by the limitations of common sense, the limitations of time, of arithmetic, of science. And because of that, we really need to experience God in a different way. So I'm going to just start off with kind of like my closing statement right up front. So here it is, beloved. If you think you've got God figured out, then I really feel bad for you because you don't. But you can't. Why is that? Let me give you an example. So one of the favorite songs of worship, you know, we sing, "You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised." I love that song. But here's the thing, guys. It's like Alpha and Omega. There's a starting point. There's an ending point. But see, that is based upon our conception of time. Because if we are experiencing God in the fullness of who He is, He always has been, always is, always will be. So what is a beginning to God? What is an ending to God? So God, in everything that He has exposed us to in the Bible, He exposes us in relation to what we perceive as time. So even when we're going through the scriptures and we read that Methuselah lived for 900 plus years, well, by what standard are those years? Are we talking about a 24-hour day? Are we talking about a 12-month year? What are we talking about? Because for God, a blink of an eye could be 500 years for all we know. So we are given a platform in the Bible in which to understand time, because without that, we would just be totally lost. And I'm really trying to make a point here, because when we are considering God, here's the thing, Sugar Cookie. Do we consider Him based upon the things that we understand? Or do we trust Him and believe in Him in spite of what we understand? So what I want to do, because I pulled out several scriptures, but I have a main scripture, and I might not even lead too far from this one. But it's another place in the Bible that I have meditated on for years and years and years. I find it interesting that it is introduced to us as Psalm 8. For you number of people out there, 8 being new beginnings. And I find it very interesting that we get this quote, "new beginning." And what it does is it really talks about the very existence of God. So let me read this. Let me see. My wife is trying to give me something to prop this up. So let me see if this will work. Hey, that's not too, I don't know. Now it's not going to work, but that's okay. Look, it says, "O Lord, our Lord." And I want to stop right there for a moment, because in the King James, where I'm reading this, just a little quick lesson, you will see that the first Lord is in all caps. And that is significant of God in the fullness of who he is. If we wrote out his name using the English alphabet, it would be YHWH. In other words, unpronounceable. His name is not pronounceable by humanity. So in order for us to be able to even mention his name, we threw some vowels in there to make sure that we could at least call a name that would reference Almighty God. So this is where we get Yahweh. So whenever you see that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is Yahweh God. But it says here, O Lord, and then it's an acknowledgement from us, our Lord. You'll see that that Lord is uppercase L, but everything else is lowercase. It's just acknowledging that he is, in fact, Lord of our lives. So it's basically saying Lord, like almighty, all omniscient, all sufficient, all of that. And then it says, and now we acknowledge you as our Lord. Then it says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And just in that line, beloveds, when we're talking about creation, we know that in Genesis 1, God created everything because the earth was void and without form. And into this, God brought forth the firmament. And from the firmament, he created the land, and he began to separate those things into what we now call earth. All right, but here it's saying that he's above the heavens. So that makes perfect sense because, in other words, heaven had to be created because God chose that there would be a place where he could dwell and we could eventually dwell. So into this, he creates the heavens, and that is plural, beloveds. So understand that, because there's the heaven where God dwells. There's the heaven that's above what we can see with our natural eye. And then what we can see with the eye is the lowest part of heaven. So when you're looking up into the sky and you see the handiwork of God, because nobody else can create that but God, when you see that, you are literally experiencing heaven in your own eyesight, at least the first third of heaven. Okay, so then in verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. So, Sugar Cookie, again, it's telling me that God is so awesome in his very being that even demonic forces, even those things that are for evil, those things that would be enemies, they are literally under his feet. And when we choose to believe in the one who we cannot possibly understand, we as well keep the enemy at bay under our feet. So look, then it says in verse 3, when I, because it's personal, this is David talking, so when I consider thy heavens, plural, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. You get that? What the ordinance is like anointed. So all of this has been anointed. There's only one in all of creation who can anoint anything, and that is Yahweh God. And when we learn to accept him in the fullness of who he is, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment, then we would have a better understanding that we literally don't understand very much about God at all. let me continue. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Whoa, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, again, capital L-O-R-D, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, that was, that was David expressing the awesomeness of God. And yet, beloveds, when David is doing his expressions, it still has limitations, because God is so much more than what I've just read on this printed piece of paper. Look, let me put it to you in other terms. How incredible is it that the same God that we acknowledge right now is the same God that created Adam, formed him out of the dirt, knew everything going on with him, has known everything going on with every living creature, not just human, but every living creature ever created, ever will be created in the earth. And you know what, Sugar Cookie, what blows my mind is that we have to sit here using a word called apologetics, which simply means to be able to defend the faith. And we use this word apologetics to somehow feel like we have to justify the existence of God. And I'm saying, what in the world is going on? So even to our brothers and sisters who simply do not believe that there is a God that exists at all, then I question, well, what brought about all of this? Because even if you refer to a bang or some type of a chemical reaction, well, where did the chemical come from? Where did the bang come from? Where did any of this come from? What is a beginning to you who do not believe? What kind of beginning could there be when God is saying in his word, it always has been? He has always been. If you really understand Genesis chapter 1, just the first two verses, you will understand that there was something here before the words in the beginning. There was something already there, because God had already given this thing a name. He called it earth. And he said that the earth was a vapor. It was a mist. So, but there was something here. Now, we could debate all day long what that means. But again, what is that to God? Because imagine this. What if there had been civilizations after civilizations after civilizations that happened before those words in Genesis in the beginning? So when we're talking about the very nature of God, why is it that we feel that the only way that we can relate to him is by way of the things that we understand, as opposed to the things that Christ came, which leads us more towards grace and mercy? Those are things that are not necessarily fair. They're not necessarily intellectualized. They just are. You know, why am I sitting here with my beautiful wife right now when I know that I have done things in my past that could have literally wiped me out Why do I know this? Because I had people that I was running with in the same circles, and those people are no longer here to talk about these things. Who am I that God, Yahweh, would be mindful of me? Me, the sex addict. Me, the alcoholic. Me, the liar. Me, the cheater. Me, the fornicator. Why would he consider me in the processes of things? But lo and behold, here I am. And you know what? I stopped trying to figure it out because it will never make sense. I asked a friend of mine, I said, hey, what is your purpose for doing this thing? He's got a project that he's working on. I said, well, what's your purpose? And he was saying, wow, man, the way that you put it, I really don't have an answer that I can really give you a solid answer. And I said, correcto, because there is no answer, because we can only address the things that we can understand. But God's way of understanding and God's purposes are totally different than ours. So when I see the drug addict on the corner, right on Park Heights Avenue in Baltimore, where I live, where I can literally walk just a few blocks and see that dude on the corner, who am I to make a judgment on that man? Because you know what? I've seen him for maybe a minute, but God has many minutes that he is still addressing that man on the corner. And that man, in maybe a short period of time, will have transformed into something entirely different based upon God's purpose for him, not my judgment of him. Look, what I'm trying to say, and I'm getting ready to go into very dangerous territory, right now, for the average Christian, we have done an injustice to God because we have put a limitation on his nature. And let me explain this. There's a word. In fact, I'm going to talk about two words because these are words that me and my wife talk about all the time, because they're not in the Bible specifically. The first word is Trinity. The second word is rapture. And you know, I had to come to grips with how I perceive those two words, because you know it's almost blasphemy if you go into anybody's house of worship and say, I don't believe in the Trinity. I don't believe in the rapture. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe in either one in the way that we have defined it. So let me explain what I'm talking about. And I'm going to see if my wife can pull up, if you can pull up 1 John 5. But, you know, in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the first verse. And I thought about it. When we're talking about Trinity, we always come to the fact that, you know, this is three persons but one. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that that's what God is talking about. Honey, can you read, if you go to 1 John 5, verse 7, I believe.
Okay. For they are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
That's all we need to know. So, this is what I'm trying to tell you, beloveds. We have a tendency, because of the finiteness of our minds, of our hearts, because we as humans just have limitations of within our thought processes. We don't see things the way God sees them. So let me explain why I had my wife read that. It's because right now, most of us We just say, Jesus, Jesus, that's what they call you. Manger born, but on a tree you died to save humanity. You are the living word. And I want to put living word in there because that's significant. Because in the beginning, it doesn't say Jesus. It says that there is the Father, there is the Word, and there is the Holy Ghost. So Jesus speaks to the humanity that God provided for us for a period of time. In fact, let me actually express that, periods of time, because we do believe that he's coming back again in the earthly realm. But if we're spending all of our time worshiping Jesus, then I am saying, but what happened to God, the fullness of God, which is identified as the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost? These three are one. And when we call out Yahweh, which is the only human way that we can actually call God's name in his totality, when we get into other things such as, you know, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, those are talking about his attributes. But his name, YHWH, it's only by that name that we are actually addressing Almighty God in the fullness of who he is. And David understood this because he literally was saying, O Yahweh, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I know this is going against the traditional teaching. I'm looking at it, honey. And I know that a lot of people will refute what I'm talking about right now. But what I'm simply saying is that I don't think that you've created any type of horrible sin in all these prayers and worship songs and meditations that just call on the name of Jesus. I just think that you're limiting who you are addressing. And we in our house, we are starting more and more to call on that name. Yes, we know that the scripture says, by the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue shall confess in heaven and earth. We understand that. But when I want to talk to my daddy, Abba, Father, I'm calling out Yahweh, because that's the closest I can get to actually pronouncing his name. And you know, why I've gone in this direction, only God knows. But it is so critical, beloveds. We're in this end time where the very word God can mean so many things to so many people. Because people all around us say, oh, I believe in God. But what God do you believe in? You know, I don't know. When you just say God, I have no idea what kind of God you are talking about. Because there are many that will say, well, Allah, he's God. He's just got a different name to a different group of people. The devil is a liar. He has a name. Yahweh. Elohim. These are the names that we know him by. He's almighty. You know, and by calling him anything outside of that name, to me, it just shows that you really haven't understood that there is just so much more to God than our minds and our hearts and our bodies can ever understand. So I've stopped trying to understand God. I just want to flow with God. I just want to know that I am still considered by him. Just like David wrote here, that you're still mindful of me, God. That my name is in your vocabulary. My name is somewhere written in the book that counts. And that all of the things that we go through as human beings, man and woman, children, all of these things have a worth, have a value, have a dignity, have an integrity, because you, oh God, have made me. You have kept me alive for another day. You have seen fit that I would be able to read your word and to interpret it in a more conducive way, to get a better understanding of you. But nevertheless, oh God, Yahweh, I know that I can never, ever grasp who you are, for the student is never greater than the teacher. The creation is never greater than the creator. When we call on his name, we say it in the model prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth in the same manner that it is in heaven. Give us, little finite man, give us this day our daily bread, just the portion that we can handle, because we know that we can't handle any more than what you determined to give us. The next time that you find yourself having a disagreement with someone, whether they're saved or unsaved, don't be so critical about where you think they aren't. Be more mindful that everybody has a process. And in understanding God, and I really just got on the very tip of this subject, but to really say that you understand God is really you not really understanding at all who God is. Your mind would literally combust if you could take in all of God. Why do you think Moses couldn't look upon him? It's too much. Whether we're talking about visually, spiritually, or morally, it's more than we can handle. We couldn't even handle the 600 some laws that he gave us in the Old Testament. He knew we would fail. He knew we would need a redeemer. And that's why he gave us Jesus, the human form of the Word. And he dwelt among us. He was crucified for us. But when he ascended back into heaven to be with the Father, he is the Word. And the Word is preparing a place for us right now. And the Word will humanize himself again and come back to this earth. And he will come back for those who are in the ground and those who remain, and they will be caught up. I forgot to even talk about the other word, rapture. And so just real quick before I close out, rapture, you can't grasp what it would mean for God to come in the form of Jesus Christ to call up everyone who's ever been dead, no matter how they died, no matter how their particles have been separated, no matter how that works. How can we ever grasp what that means? How can we ever understand that literally, if you really understand what the end time is all about, it's not like those Left Behind movies where all of a sudden people are running into buildings and crashing all over the place. No, because the scripture says that the calling of those who remain on the earth, it will be a mystery how he comes back, because for those that remain beyond those who are caught up, they won't even know that anything happened. It will be a mystery because many of their loved ones have ascended to be in heaven with God Almighty, and we will just be going through a normal day, wondering why
all hell is still breaking loose around us, wondering why it's becoming more difficult to even call on the name of Jesus, if you want to say Jesus, because now there will be afflictions because you have called on that name. There will be crucifixions because you have called on that name. You will be demonized because you called on that name. That's why, beloveds, that's why we don't even want to put a limitation on the word rapture, because rapture, when I think about rapture, I'm thinking about Anita Baker caught up in the rapture of love. But this rapture that we associate with God is so much more intense, so much beyond the realm of our understanding. Why try to figure it out? Go with the flow and be in it.
Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for the word. Thank you for loving us and teaching us and allowing us to sit at your feet, Father. Let us come near you to learn more about you, because you are wonderful. And what being near you helps us to glean from you that aroma of beauty, that aroma that makes a difference in our lives. It makes people want to come near us. It's not about us, God. It's about you. But we cannot touch you. We cannot see you. We cannot come near you without being changed, without allowing your spirit to make a change in our lives, Father. Because you are so powerful in your love. And that love will just cover a multitude of sin. And truly, we are sinners, Father. But you love us anyway. And that gives us so much hope that we will surely be truly children of God, truly servants of God. One day, that can be said of each and every one of those who accept, receive, forgive, repent, and turn away. We bless your name, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yahweh. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh.